Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to What a Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network, where joining me, Sean Walsh, as he does all the time, Jude Summerfield, to talk about Tottenham Hotspur. And it's been a busy one since we last recorded, Jude, hasn't it?
I know, things don't seem to be slowing down or be getting more cheerful at all at the moment, so...
Things seem to get worse when we don't record, and then there's always things that work while we're busy that we can't record.
Yeah.
And it kind of piles up all the time. So really, we're the ones at fault for this.
We are at fault. We're busy, guys. It happens, but yeah, the I think we were sort of. I was trying to be cautiously optimistic the last time we spoke. I think you're in the same boat. Maybe a little more realistic, but yeah, it's hit that point now, hasn't it?
Yeah. A little bit.
We're back there again.
Yeah, and
which is great.
Yeah, this isn't a Antonio Conte post mortem. We will record one when he gets sacked. Why not? Strange things have happened.
We'll see if it's during this part.
Yeah. It could very well be. We're recording early afternoon, Wednesday the 22nd. So there is every chance that Spurs official announces
it. You've been on it every hour, haven't
you? I know. Hourly updates. Has he been sacked yet? No. Has he been sacked yet? No. Has he been sacked yet? No.
Not yet.
It'll happen at some point.
Not yet.
It might coincide with this podcast. But today, instead, we are going to talk about who is to blame for this current mess. I wrote a piece the other day for the 90 Min site. We have a series, Who is to Blame, when shit completely hits the fan at your club. I believe this is only the second time this happened at Tottenham, though. When I was going back through the archives, we only did one previously, and it was around this time in 2020. It was right before lockdown hit.
Yeah, I think we were planning on doing one only a few weeks ago, and I managed to stave off, and we got the PSG got the treatment instead, so managed to hold off at that point. But at a certain point, it just becomes undeniable. Really,
I think I remember we'll get into it. But when Conte was delivering his press conference against Southampton, it was just like, okay, the glass that needs to be broken in case of emergency has been really smashed. So here we are, and we have got 35 things.
35 things.
It's insane.
That's a lot.
It's quite a lot.
Well, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around.
I know, a mess this big, you can't just put it on one person.
No, you really can't. No.
As much as you want to. I know you do, Jude.
Oh, I'd love to just, I don't know who it would be, but it would make everything so much easier, wouldn't it?
You. I don't know who you are. I'm sure you're a joke. Yeah, you get the idea of that. Coming in at 35 on our list. I can't tell you how much I hate this guy, Jude.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I have a real bone to pick with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at him now.
It makes me sick.
Got a real smug
his
on
big,
the
his big
face.
Eyes, his big smile, his big boots, his big wings. I hate him. Number 35 is Chirpy.
Yeah. Totally deserved. Hasn't helped Tottenham win any trophies over the
What's
last
he done?
20 years.
What's he done?
Nothing.
He's been here the whole time. When Conte said 20 years the same owner and no trophies, he's talking about Chirpy.
Yeah. And you know what? If you want a symbol for stagnation at Tottenham, it's Chirpy the Cockerel.
Only one redesign since 2006, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to be white, like a proper, like a white kind of feathery chicken. Actual like a chicken more than
I would have preferred
the blue
chicken.
Cockerel now he is now.
Cockerel, I'm not so sold on.
Yeah, so.
Stupid yellow beak.
He epitomises everything wrong with Spurs. You know.
But, you know, it's not the only one. Not the only cockerel who's...
Number 34.
...causing absolute mayhem.
Lily the cockerel.
Yeah. And what's worse than one giant...
What's worse than one giant cockerel? Two big giant cockerels. This club is really good to the dogs.
I don't think I've seen Lily about at the stadium
often. Well, it's quite unfair. Chirpy gets a lot of the kind of... the attention.
Mm.
Lily's kind of an afterthought, which is quite unfair.
Yeah.
You know, they both deserve blame. They did this.
Yeah, this is old white art lane I've got here.
That's true. See what I mean? The Getty photographers don't really recognise her either. It's a real shame.
There's probably some mistagging as well on Getty They probably think that Lily is Chirpy half the and Chirpy is Lily, which, you know, dodgy.
I'll check. I'll write them a strongly worded email. I told you, they sent me an email to my personal account, Getty.
Oh, yeah?
Thinking I was working for my previous employers and I haven't worked for my previous employer in 4 years. So, that was funny.
Was funny, yeah.
This is behind the curtain. I'm sure everyone's interested. Anyway, 33. Okay, this is when we start getting back in the... Go back. This is a real kind of domino effect kind of stuff
domino
here.
Domino effect, yeah.
Mario Balotelli. Tell me why, Jude. Tell me why Mario Balotelli would be at fault for this.
He's not a great fella. no. Well, I mean, we go back during the years. I mean, this one in particular, it's a Man City flavour. I feel like I have other Mario Balotelli memories, especially his only goal for Liverpool against Spurs, which linger.
God, I forgot about that, actually,
But yeah, of course, halfway through the 2011-12 season, Spurs are in a good position. Lots of pressing, title challenge, perhaps, behind the likes of City and... United.
There was a week where we were in 3 points of both of them, I think.
Yeah. So things were going very, very close. And when they went to City in that season, I think they went 2-0 down, didn't they? But they managed to claw it back.
Bale scored that.
Bale got the really lovely goal. I can't remember who scored the other one.
I can't either. Was it Defoe? Defoe missed in the last minute. He stops his run and starts again. He misses it by a stud and that goes in.
It might have been some sort of tapping. It might have been. But yeah, so 2-2 heading into those final few stages. Balotelli has, on top of just being a nose throughout the game, has kicked Scott Parker in the head at quite a pivotal moment. I think the game's still locked at 2-2.
Yeah, I think it was quite late on, yeah.
And it's an age where we don't have VAR. So there is no... looking back, there's no replays on offer. The referee's missed it. And he stays on the pitch and he ends up scoring the winner for City from a penalty.
This is the case of VAR.
This
is the case.
But how retrospective can we make it, you know? This is over 10 years ago.
We overturn this, that means City don't win the league. We don't get the Aguero moments. There's lots of that. But, you know, City still got to face those charges from the Premier League, so...
We'll see, man.
For the book of them, I say.
Yeah, we never came second when they came first there.
Yeah, that was the annoying thing, because I remember I put this forward to someone asking, and one of their big arguments was, if Man City simply don't come into wealth, Spurs are in a much better position for much of the decade. And I tried to stand up. This is as close as I could find to it, because I think we've done quite a bit of damage to City as their bogey team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, the only year that we came second... Chelsea finished first, so that was a bit annoying. But we are the only team in history who finished above a Pep Guardiola team and didn't win the league. So that's how's that for Spursy?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of nice, isn't
it? Is it? I don't think that's very nice at all.
It's very empty. It feels very lonely and dark.
It is the epitome of this club.
But yeah, so City has sort of gone in and made the Premier League their own sort of playground and. Ever since Spurs have still been scrapping away, not really taking that next leap. So
yeah. Why didn't they take this next leap? Because of things like that happened on deadline day, January 2012. Ryan Nelson and Louis Saha.
Yeah, but we had a Wheeler dealer in charge. I mean, like, what did you expect?
I don't actually know who obviously I'm blaming them for this, but I don't actually know who to blame for these signings. Is this Redknapp led? Is this Levy led? You could tell me one way or another, I'd believe you. Part of me thinks that it was kind of a master plan. It was like, oh, get him on a free. Oh, you're genius. Oh, yeah. You get the idea with that.
Yeah. I mean, the Sahar one looked pretty fine. He was actually all right. Start. Him and Adebayor were pretty... I think they smashed Newcastle 5-0 one game, and it was just those two running riot, which is quite odd.
He scored at Arsenal as well.
He did, yeah. I mean, that wasn't the cleanest of strikes, but yeah. it was a goal.
A standing striker's guy who's all right, but I just like. But it's very easy to shove him in here like I did.
Yes, yes.
Because Ryan Nelson, that guy was 50. He's always been 50. He was born at 50.
We got him in the peak years just before he went to QPR.
Is that how he went after this?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe you went over to Australia. You might have unlocked a memory.
But he was definitely at QPR.
That sounds like something QPR would do, to be fair. Yeah. That sounds very QPR. So that tells you the kind of the esteemed company that we're in.
Yeah, it wasn't that long afterwards, I don't think so. Yeah. He didn't stick around for another season, did he? Because that was 11, 12,
I don't think so,
12,
no.
13,
yeah, I don't think he was here for ABB experience.
He wasn't there for ABB.
Gas was still here. Gas kind of became the Nelson figure of the team.
Yeah.
But this, of course, brings us to the main man who was at fault for this season.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp's dog.
Yeah.
I say man, I mean girl.
Man, that's... Yeah, it's called Rosie.
Rosie. Because, you know, when Harry Redknapp's putting money in his offshore account, he has to name her after his dog for some reason. Like, you know, he just loves us so much.
Really, really loves us that much. And it's you know, there are some similarities here. Not so much with the money stuff and all that weird sort of discourse and those stories, but, you know, in the sense that there was still a fair amount to play for in that season, and it was a bit of a self-inflicted catastrophic end to the season, really.
I like you're clicking your fingers like, what's the word? Oh, yes. Catastrophic end to the season.
Yeah, well, it was pretty bad, wasn't it?
It was awful.
Just in that everything that went wrong could have gone wrong.
Well, could you imagine if it happened like in the... Like, Twitter wasn't as big back then, social media wasn't as big back then. Can you imagine that happening now, that the collapse that Spurs went on and Chelsea robbing them of the last Champions League place?
Yeah, it would have
been
bad.
All that. It would have been... really bad.
Yeah.
It would have been
I don't think
horrendous.
I would have I don't think I would have logged into Twitter on that day. I would have given it a miss.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, but it can be toxic. But anyway.
It would have been bad. The amount of think pieces that come out then, like this for example, who would we blame for that? I blame the dog. And this is not the only dog that will be blamed for Tottenham's mess as well. So you could stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Never even got the England job.
I know, that was the big thing. After all that.
And then you left the end of the season.
Okay, we'll give it to Roy.
Yeah.
Now I'm unemployed. Now I'm at QPR.
And vicious cycle in the end, I suppose. But rough.
Yeah. That brings us to number 30.
Which.
At the end of that season, Tottenham sold Luka Modric. But it wasn't the only thing they got in the deal. They didn't just get 30 million cash. They also received a special relationship where they talked about exchanging of ideas and scouting reports and coaching stuff and methods and all this stuff.
Sounds good.
What did Spurs get out of it? 85 mil when they sold Gareth Bale for Real Madrid a year later.
Oh, okay. That's not much at all.
Have we ever bought a player for Real Madrid?
Yeah, I was just trying to think.
Regulon.
Regulon.
Is that it?
I mean... Rafa was before
Rafa
Modric got
before,
sold.
Yeah, he doesn't count. He was pre-special.
He doesn't really count. I mean, Bale came back on loan from Real Madrid, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that owed to the special relationship, but it did happen. But yeah, we have not got anything out of that.
Personally, I would count Modric and Bale's Champions League titles as Spurs' own.
Yeah.
I think that's only fair.
Yeah. Some people will disagree. And I think you
and
just need
wrong,
to dig
you know?
Your heels in
yeah,
and just but, say, listen.
Look, is it my fault you're wrong? No. You've got to look inward sometimes.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, some self-reflection.
To be introspective.
It's good for all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we settled that. Real Madrid Champions League titles and Spurs. It's cool.
Yeah,
and speaking of Spurs and Real Madrid links.
Yes, that's a nice segue.
Juande Ramos.
Juande, who's the last Spurs manager to win a trophy.
He's number 29 on the blame ranking.
Because he didn't set us up for future success, unfortunately.
He did not. I was listening to an interview with Gus Poyet recently about, he was talking about their side, and they just thought, I think it was just the amount of players that were shifted between eras. Mm. Where so the team that won the League Cup was a very different team to the one the summer after, because all these key players moved on and the kind of the messages weren't hitting the same way. Like, it was a different kind of culture, which I understand, but at the same time, could you not be 20th after 8 games in the Premier League with Tottenham? Is that really that hard?
Yeah, that was not good.
It's a good argument for the kind of our trophies really a measure of a manager's success and stuff.
Yes,
because you look at one. Yeah. Randy Ramos is like the shining example. It's just like, okay, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Somehow it ended up at Real Madrid the following year.
But like, where he wouldn't rank very highly if he had to rank Tottenham managers over the last 20 years.
I wonder if Real Madrid managers, Real Madrid supporters, sorry, know. Wonder how much they even remember he was there.
Do they know what the League Cup is?
League Cup?
Oh, you've won the League Cup, what, 6, 8 times? We've won the Champions League 14 times, you know. That's the trophy we look out for.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's an odd one looking back at
Juande being. But we will argue that that was not really Juande Ramos's team.
Yeah.
The blame should fall to number 28. Martignol, because that was spiritually his team.
Poor Martignol.
And I've heard whispers that he considered it because it's his team.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair enough. Yeah, did he win the final? Good. No. Did he make the team? Yes.
Martin put in all the hard yards.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
For 3-4 years. And he made Spurs a good team again. So, yeah, I mean, how much can we blame poor Martin? We've given him 2 out of 10 here.
2.1 out of 10.
2.1 out of 10, yeah.
A very, very fine difference.
Yeah, it's an important difference.
I loved that. I loved him. I really did.
Oh, man.
Like, lovable guy.
Yeah, and he brought some good football back to Spurs.
Brought some great brotherly names in as well.
Yes. Yes, I know who you... Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to Google Martignol's brothers' names and come back to us.
You can hear just what a tough life he's had.
He got off scot-free, to be fair. Martin's a normal name.
Martin's totally normal, yeah. But he is his bro. What is he? He's, I can't remember what he's called. He's Dickie or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe even something worse.
I think it is worse than that.
I think it is worse.
But obviously, we can't talk about Martignol without climbing to number 27.
Yes, Palmos. No, Lasagna, sorry.
I wish it was Palmos we could blame.
I wish we could blame
Palmos. Brought them that much damage to us, apart from the FA Cup last year.
Yeah, the Lasagna is just so iconic, unfortunately, isn't it? Just because I don't think it would ever be allowed to happen again today.
Again, something would be much, much worse in the modern social media era.
Yeah. I mean, especially when everyone thinks there's an agenda and a conspiracy against their team already. Oh, God, yeah,
the conspiracy theories.
They're already rife at even now. Like,
by referee decisions.
Everyone's still, everyone still has an opinion on what... Him on who caused the Sardia Gate, and you know there are pictures of arson in a chef's hat and everything like that. So, could you imagine the memes these days if something like that happened? It'd be terrible. There'd be social media accounts making pictures of Spurs players looking queasy and all that sort of stuff. It would be carnage.
Did you ever read Match Magazine?
Yeah, every now and again.
I remember the edition that came out after this happened, and it was literally that. It was Wenger. It was a comic of Wenger. Cooking the team, it was like, you bastards.
Nice. And then the West Ham fans threw loads of toilet roll on during that last game as well, which was tough. I don't think I'd have lasagna before a big game.
I know some players come out and said that it wasn't lasagna, it was just a general bug that was going around. It wasn't related to the food, it was just a virus at the camp, and that was it. But do you remember actually? There were rumours that was happening again last season. Remember Gary Lineker tweeted about he'd heard something from the Spurs camp. Something like a source. He was like, the players are ill. It might be lasagna. Get 2.0.
For the impartial.
Yeah, I remember this was at the back end of our work trip to Barcelona. And I was on the later flight. So I was just having lunch in the city. And I remember looking at my phone and being like, oh, you're joking. You're joking. Do not ruin this for me. And then it turned out it was fine.
Yeah, what game would that have been?
It was pre-Norwich.
Oh, pre-Norwich. Pre-Norwich.
I think it turned out, like, I remember the week before that Conte talks about there was, like, a little bit of a virus. Like, I remember, like, Kulusevski didn't start one of the games because he had something wrong with him. So I think it wasn't without basis or anything. But it passed over and It was fine. But I remember being really scared about that. Yeah. It was just like, I'm not having this in the modern age.
Not again.
Yeah. Okay. Not so, again. So moving on to number 26.
Great voice, great pipes.
Adele. How could Adele do this?
I'm not going to do anything. We won't do anything.
I have lots of nice things to say about Adele, but the fact that she, you know, she can't put one in the top corner, what good is that for my club? Just adding lots of pressure, lots of expectation. One of the most famous singers ever, and she's a Spurs fan. Yeah. And we can't live with that pressure. What are we supposed to do?
I don't know, bro.
What can I do? Why isn't she playing at the stadium? Why is it somewhere else?
If Adele's voice could play right back, that would be fantastic. Unfortunately, that's to be enjoyed on a different level and not in a stadium or Spurs level.
Yeah.
But you know, she has to suffer like the rest of us. You know,
she doesn't tweet about it enough. She should like be on social media, like being like a proper doom poster. That would be really great.
I don't think I could hack it.
We need more.
We do need more.
But yeah, so.
But she's our bit of hometown glory, isn't she? Yeah. At least.
She loves selling our stadiums. Wembley Stadium, to be exact.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wembley Stadium, Wembley Stadium is number 25 on this list.
Hmm.
What a horrible little place.
Yeah, tough ground to go to. Especially if you were a Spurs fan in those years. Tough place to go.
Yeah. I didn't fully buy into
tough place to get to.
Yeah, that was the big thing, yeah. I didn't fully buy into the every game at Wembley is an away game bit quite, but it was 25% an away game.
There are a few good instances of when it was rocking. I remember went to the Liverpool game, which is the last time Spurs actually beat Liverpool. They won 4-1. And it was really rocking.
The last time we
there.
Beat them?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you've got the brain for it, so I'll let you whiz through. But
no, I think you're right. I think you are right, yeah.
Because I think we went there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about bogey teams. That's bogey teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was never really a good home.
It just was not a club stadium. Yeah. You could tell that.
And then players were coming out and saying, oh, you know, we need to move back as soon as possible.
Well, I think it was interesting that I think one of the first interviews was Alderweireld. I think it was before like the Wembley curse kind of became a thing. It was like the difference between playing there and White Hart Lane was that there was like things of White Hart Lane that you could use to stand on the pitch. Like if the defensive line was high up as far as like one of the pillars in the east stand.
Yeah, just visually.
It's things like that. It was like getting used to these new surroundings. The pitch was a bit bigger as well. It was more vast, so the atmosphere was a bit different there as well. But yeah, there were good times. I remember it was at the Real Madrid game, both Arsenal games. So there were good times, but just really kind of a soulless.
Yeah, and people were just looking to get out by the end as well, really. Nobody really wanted to.
I remember the first game, the Monaco game as well. So much expectation. It was a really hot evening. It was the back end of summer, basically. Mm. And it was roasting. I mean, obviously, we lost 2-1. We weren't very good. Deserved to lose. And they hadn't really figured out the queuing system yet to get out of the stadium. So I was standing there for over an hour in the baking heat getting back to Wembley Park. So I'm very glad that we won't have to play home games there again. I'm very much looking forward to Chelsea spending at least 4 years away from Stamford Bridge and playing games at Wembley. Because they're going to hate it. Four years, that's a long time. We were there for a year and a half, and that's felt like eternity. Four years.
God, it's so long. We were getting ripped for it towards the end as well. Like four years.
4 years, because they got... Like,
4 years!
Sorry. They got, like, completely knocked down Stamford Bridge and rebuild it because of the area.
But that's wild. Well, have fun doing
but
that.
Yeah, so...
tell you from previous experience, it's not amazing.
Yeah. But this is not... the only stadium on this.
It's number not no.
Number 24.
Because things
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Costs £1 billion. And what's it done? How many goals it scored? Clean sheets kept? Assists? Crosses complete? Take ons complete? XG? XA?
I just think we're still waiting for that first game where things really kick off, aren't we? Where we really make that stadium our own.
but a few full scores now.
Unfortunately, like the stadium didn't really feel too much of a draw when they were going out in really poor fashion at home to AC Milan, you know. It didn't feel like the stadium was going to get us a goal that we
was
going to
suck in a goal.
And that's not
there have been times where that has happened, to be fair. Like, it's not without...
Oh, yeah. That's
they've at least been good games, but...
But at the same time, it's well,
they haven't been enough,
and it's hilarious because these acoustics that the club put in the stadium at the start, they pick up on everything. So
yeah,
I think you've experienced it a bit more than I have this season, but it gets pretty hostile.
It can, yeah. But I guess the counterpoint is that there is a lot of potential still, because I've always gone about the Arsenal game at the end of last season, like, honestly, the banging, the ringing in your ears, the way that's the atmosphere that the kind of fans really strive for. I know everyone can talk about the Ajax game, which are there for that as well, and that was really amazing. But just being sat somewhere in the stadium where you aren't kind of surrounded by home fans for that Arsenal game, and just like, it was just like, it felt like you wanted to go take a shower or something. And I think that is the atmosphere kind of we should be aspiring to. And I imagine when we get the rub of the green and things start going well again in the future, they will at some point. Yeah. Don't know when.
Yeah, when do we get the rub of the green?
I don't know.
When does that usually happen?
Don't know.
Is it soon? Hopefully it's soon. Wouldn't mind it being soon.
Speaking of the stadium. Yeah,
obviously got the stadium.
Number 23.
And then there's no bloody cheese.
There's the cheese room.
The non-existent cheese room. Yeah, it's not there. And I know we've just had lunch. We've had burgers and chicken in here. But,
a lot of chicken.
But I'm looking at a load of cheese now on the 90 Min website. And I fancy some cheese. And
it's quite an appetizing picture, actually.
But one option that is not available is going to Tottenham Stadium for cheese, because they never made the cheese room.
It's something that's so convoluted when it kind of came out of the leaks, and it's just like, why would you not do it? You've got to go through with it now.
It's in the blueprint. Yeah. Surely it wasn't just a throwaway bit.
Who said, you know what, I don't want a cheese room? Is that part of Poch's plans? Because I know Poch has something to say in some of the stuff.
Just wondering if there are any really important officials who might have been driving or banging the cheese room.
What if we signed a player that was like lactose intolerant or something? And they're like, no, exactly. If you build a cheese room, I will die.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe that must be that. Maybe that's why Jabalin didn't want to come. We'll come back to him later. He's on this list.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Goody. Number 22, Beavertown.
Yeah.
I can't believe Beavertown did this.
I know, it's terrible. Oh, you seen those? You seen the pint glasses they use though? Pretty amazing.
There, I got one at home. I got a coffee mug at home. Beavertown coffee mug. It's beautiful. It's really amazing. But they are the reason this club is in shambles.
They do peddle IPA bollocks. And that's never good for a football.
They will
club.
Never be Camden Hells.
They will never be. They won't even be a red stripe, mate. They're in the gutter forever.
They took over the ticket office to build a pub. What? Why? Why?
I'm just going to go to the B.
Oh, I bet it is. They're the reason that we're sliding down the table.
Yeah, if you're happy to just accept the mediocrity of Beavertown, then
Beavertown and Tottenham together as one.
This is what's going to happen, I'm afraid. I don't think I've ever had a pint of Beavertown, you know, I'm just assuming they got 4.5 on the blame rating, so I was
We need to add a disclaimer somewhere so I don't get legally sued or anything.
They can always just give us free cans of beer and that'll be fine.
But we're not quite done with things involving the stadium, are we, Jude?
Number
21.
It's the root of our problems, apparently, and it's the National Football League, which is the NFL.
The NFL?
Yeah, from America.
The NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never quite gotten into the NFL.
Me neither. I couldn't. I tried
Tom Brady. But that's pretty much as far as I go.
Super Bowl. I tried this year. I really tried. A friend of mine tried to get me into it, and I tried to keep up with it, but it was just too...
Yeah.
It's too much going on. I'll stick to basketball.
I think that makes more sense, yeah. But there's a 10-year agreement to play matches at Spurs now. And they have a pitch underneath the turf, the football turf that they wheel
special
out.
Special pitch.
I don't really know what you think about that in terms of where modern football is. Sure.
I should have put this in the article. I completely forgot about it. I just thought of it now. I remember when it first was announced, they were like, oh, it's going to use a different pitch. And they were like, how are you going to do that? And just like the whole thing with the pitch opening up and going under and sliding or whatever. I remember there was like someone, I can't remember who, but they like had a real kind of problem. It was like, our player's not going to trip on the seams, or they're going to get the stuff caught and break their leg or something. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
On the seams.
It's just like,
I think they're going to be, those bits of turf are going to be quite separate. So
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that.
I wouldn't worry. One day the pitch just opens up, it's like a massive chasm. It's like in like the Dark Knight Rises. Bane just, it takes control of the stadium, opens up the pitch and all the players fall beneath. Like that scene in Toy Story when Buzz at the start when Buzz is in the video game and the floor falls beneath him.
No.
Just like that. Speaking of the stadium and the innovation of the stadium, number 20.
Yeah.
Richard Hammond.
I never saw this episode.
Did you not? It's really good actually. You should go watch it.
I'm not sold on Richard Hammond.
I'm not either. Never sold. But that's why. But that's why he's on this list. You know.
Because he. Because he.
The stadium featured on an episode of Richard Hammond's Big, and it was actually really cool.
Yeah.
But did the club need their ego stroking like that, Jude? Probably not.
No, probably not.
They sat at home. They're like, Richard Hammond really likes the stadium. That's really good.
But I doubt maybe they need any convincing.
Maybe we don't need a creative midfielder.
We've got Richard Ten, Richard Hammond number 10. We'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, when did this episode come out then? Was it a few years ago?
It was end of 2019, I think. Start of 2020.
Oh, okay, so stadium's still pretty new.
Newish. Newish enough where it's like still kind of a novelty.
Okay. It sort of makes sense. I suppose they would have taken any opportunity to get on TV and show.
And they took it all right. Because it's brainwashed people like me. It was a really good episode. Yeah, there's clips of it on YouTube. I don't know what channel it's aired on, but the clips are on YouTube.
It's going to be big.
Yeah. That brings us to the worst ones, dude. Number 19.
This is quite meta.
I know. Daft podcasters like you and me.
Yeah.
We're everything wrong with
I'm
this club.
Daft. What are you talking about? I'm
How many goals do you score for Spurs, dude?
None.
Waste of space.
When I haven't... Yeah, if it's not me in my Spurs shirt at six aside, then none technically. But I don't really hold myself responsible for any of Tottenham big shit
don't
these
you?
Days.
Don't you? That's very noble of you, Jude, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's comments that like that make you part of the problem, Sean. So
it's true. I'm a bastard.
So maybe just think before you accuse me of being daft.
I hate myself.
Join the club. Good lord. But yeah, I appreciated the Tim Robinson gift as well. Yeah. That's
I was hoping it was there. I was trying to find some other ones, but I couldn't find them.
That guy's also dressed like a hot dog. Yeah, wonderful. Well, we'll have a new episode for people to listen to. So
that's true. Yeah.
5.2. How did you come to 5.2 then?
I was going up incrementally. I was trying to make it as even as possible.
It's just where they placed. Yeah, fair play.
Don't have a metric or anything. I have the eye test.
Just the eye test.
The eye test says we suck.
Yeah, don't need any expected bollocks. Cool. Like that.
Yeah. That brings us to number 18, though.
Yeah. Well, I feel we're... Sorry to disrupt, but I feel we're slowly getting into bits that are actually going to make me sad. Rather than sort of the joke.
We're in serious territory.
Yeah.
This
is where everyone needs to get a big glass of red wine and stick on
some Elliot Smith. There is more satire ahead, so...
Thank God. Because this bloke...
Yeah, this guy.
Demir Skamina... The fella who gave a penalty for Liverpool in the first or second... No, it was the first minute.
It was 22 seconds.
No chance we made into the second. No. Yeah.
We
hadn't touched the ball.
Touch of the ball.
I guess then. And it was a penalty. Oh, man.
You can't do that, ref.
Yeah.
It's not on.
That sucked.
And that's one of the things where, in the moment, I was just so kind of like, head down, get on with it. There's no point moaning. Like, just get on with it. Okay, we're a goal down. Just get on with it. Score a goal. Make it a final.
Mm.
And the further I get away from it, the more I'm like, what the fuck was that? No VAR check, nothing. He didn't realise that Sissoko's arm was hold out the whole time to point to get Trippier to get back.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
Still pointed to the spot.
Nothing. Mane was like, okay, I'm just going to hit against his arm now, guys. Guys, there's no one there, but I'm going to hit it. Guys. Ref, pen. Ref?
Yeah, penalty. Good enough for me.
Ref?
Straight to
the
spot.
Yeah, no? Yeah, goal. So.
Yeah. I start feeling, I just feel apathetic every time I think about that.
No? And people kind of, like, when I talk to my friends about this and stuff, it's like, that was like one of the worst Champions League finals ever. It's like, yeah, because the ref gave away a pen after 22 seconds. Killed the game. Stop calling me about it.
Gave Liverpool the exact game plan from the first minute. That they needed to go.
It could
win.
Not have been better from Liverpool's point of view. They had a goal and a reason for Spurs to be annoyed.
Yeah. And then Spurs attacking lads just dropped stinkers.
Yeah.
But what can you do except from blame Demir Scalina?
It is the most Spurs thing ever.
Yeah, it's
It really is. It sort of means
you can't be surprised by anything that happens.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Because, you know.
Is it going to get worse than that? Probably not. Yeah. Get relegated, that's fine.
Probably not. Yeah. Getting relegated would be better than losing a Champions League final. I mean, fucking hell. That's so horrible. I can't. Yeah,
okay.
Never again.
Okay, we briefly touched on it before. Number 17, Paulo Dybala's image rights. Spurs made a really late play to sign Paulo Dybala the summer after that Champions League final. Really late. I remember it first came out a couple of weeks before the end. Oh, they're looking into it. Nothing really happened. There was more talking about going to United, but he turned them down because he didn't want to play in the Europa League. And then we come back in on the last couple of days, and it does seem like something that... There's like a willingness on both sides. I don't think Dybala was thrilled about it, but he's like, okay, they just played the Champions League final. They played in the Premier League, London. There's a lot of Argentines there. Pochettino's the manager. Lo Celso is going to go as well. Whatever, let's try and do it. And then Spurs are trying to work around this image rights thing because he sold them when he was younger to kind of get more money when he didn't have as much. And it was too convoluted a legal thing to get around with so little left of the window. And it kind of just joins the legends like all the other failed transfers before. Like, I remember, like, you're in the moment, you're like, oh, this is just like the Rivaldo letter or... Some of the other big ones, like
Leandro Damião.
Damião, Vitinho. Like, he just goes right in that category. If anything, he's like, it's worse because he was like a proper, genuine superstar. Like, people didn't like necessarily, like, people who like football know that he was on the outskirts of, like, he was almost like a household name. People, like, the name Dybala, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I've heard that name somewhere.
Yeah. And it seemed like he would have been an interesting fit for sure. Spurs was sort of on the lookout. I don't know how much of a number 10 he is, but he's definitely a support striker more than an out and out lad. And he might have taken Spurs in a different direction, sort of post Christian Eriksen. But yeah, it was sort of late on in that window, and it looked like that might happen. But there are also links to like Coutinho and Bruno Fernandes and all these sort of people, and then Lo Celso ended up happening, and that was the big one for Spurs late in that window.
Yeah,
and never quite convinced everyone, Gio Lo Celso.
Even when he was good, like he was more praised for like doing his defensive work. It was never more like on the ball stuff. I do remember, people were saying that by the time of the lockdown, oh, he was Spurs' player of the season. It's just like, he's just so obviously not that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it was.
Because I think one of the things I don't like about the Celso is he wears his shorts in a way that when he's running, it looks like he's running while crouching at the same time, and it just makes me really uncomfortable. I'm like, how are you doing that? Like,
yeah,
but yeah.
I haven't noticed that too much, but I'm happy to beat him with that stick if you're doing it already.
That's fine.
Yeah,
don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, so I guess Dybala is. I mean, you sort of take it or leave it these days, right? Injury prone at Roma.
I do think there was maybe there were good reasons why it didn't happen. So,
but it would have.
The Pochettino might have ended differently. He might have been something to kind of rejuvenate the attack that we might have needed.
Yeah,
he might have been like the kind of either the guy behind the striker or on the right who might have brought things together. He might have brought a new dimension, like the way that Kulusevski did when he first came as well. Maybe that's how it turns out.
Might have been the planning. But yeah.
But yeah, whatever. But
he's at Roma now.
He is at Roma now. That brings us to the Roma manager at number 16. Jose Mourinho. Yeah. Really, I'm quite surprised I didn't put him higher up this list, but
16 is I guess he was sort of just more of a symptom.
Is it his fault that he didn't know he was washed?
Yeah, this is true. I mean, how is he supposed to turn down a job when a chairman comes up to him and says, or still thinks of him as one of the two best managers in the world, and was like on camera being very happy saying that.
I can't. It's 2019. It's not just that he said it, that Daniel Levy said that Mourinho is one of the two best coaches in the world. It's that the documentary came out after the season had ended, and there was time for him to go and edit that so that didn't make the cut. And they were like, nope, put it in.
Has to be. Put it in.
Come on, we have to see everyone for what they are.
I will be vindicated by this one day, I promise you. And then you didn't get vindicated.
Yeah, so I feel like we've gone over Jose Mourinho on previous episodes of What a Night.
There are a lot. There's a lot of old What a Night, Oh What a Night.
Yeah.
Podcasts where.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You can listen to
a bigger gang of us talk about Jose Mourinho. I'd actually be interested in listening to a post Mourinho pod. I wonder what we were saying.
I feel kind of familiar. It's a familiar feeling. But yeah, I mean, he was funny towards the end. Yeah. Looking back in hindsight,
it is just, yeah. It's something like our colleague Scott Sauna says, he's one of the managers who it's great to watch. If he's not managing your club,
you know, the more you look at it, the more just sort of weirder style of play he had in the modern game, just because it didn't evolve whatsoever, and it got to the point where they were playing 4-4-2 with Vinicius up front with Kane. Yeah. So it was sort of similar to what it is now. It just stunk of like no ideas, no attacking thrust or anything. So yeah. I actually think 16's all right, because I don't Moo is a bit of a melter.
Well, we'll see the reasons above.
Yeah.
So number 15, the Croatian authorities, who arrested Dinamo Zagreb manager Zoran Mamic before our Europa League tie. Spurs led 2-0 from the first leg. All they had to do was not lose by 2 goals in normal time, and then after extra time, not lose by 3.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it.
No, well, Mislav Orsic of Southampton fame these days, of course.
Surprised he didn't score against us at the weekend, actually.
Yeah, this is the thing.
It seemed quite right for the narrative. That's really interesting.
It's a very Spurs narrative, isn't it? Mm. Some sort of old random just coming back and haunting you time after time again.
That sound like us.
But yeah, that the manager going to prison sort of was the chaotic boost Zagreb needed somehow. And they ended up... I think a couple of the goals he scored were actually like they were belters, but at the same time, like I actually can't remember the team Spurs put out, but there's so many instances of just mismanagement over the years where they'll just change up teams from weekend to weekend and they go into the midweek game and they're just so cold. And I mean, it's tough as well with Davinson Sanchez playing at a crunch European tie, and you're like, oh, we need to be solid at the back here, and doesn't quite happen.
Well, at least he wasn't brought as an impact sub.
Yeah.
That's leading a goal.
Always be worse.
You know. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, if Zoran Mamic walks free, maybe the game is different. Maybe Dean or Zagreb don't get this kind of extra boost they need. Whatever. But that's not the nonsense from that game. Because at number 14, we have Joe Hart's social media manager, who, in the aftermath of the game, of this game that Joe Hart played, did he play? No, he didn't play.
I don't think he did.
No, he didn't play. No. He was there, though. He was there.
Yeah.
And Spurs lost 3-0 after extra time. And Joe Hart's social media manager, getting ready for Spurs to announce that they've gone through to the quarterfinals, blindly reposted the final score graphic with a message of, like, congratulations, on to the next one, something like that.
Job done, right?
Job done. That was it. And then...
Good job, Joe.
This isn't the social media era.
Yes.
This is really problematic. And all of a sudden, Joe Hart is posting a video where he says, I don't know how this happened. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Sorry.
Yeah.
The game.
Because these results happen every now and again, and teams will go out of Europe or out of FA Cup, things like that. You know, it's sort of inevitable.
I would read an inside story or oral history of Joe Hart's social media manager posting this image.
Yeah.
I would be really interested in that. I love, like, stories like this where it's just like, how did this happen? Like, they, you know, they kind of break it down and it's like the mood had changed.
You can always ask ChatGPT.
Maybe do that after.
We can ask it to write a story. But yeah, I mean, it's tough enough when these results happen. It just makes it sort of like that much worse when something stupid like this goes on afterwards, because it's another thing that your phone's popping off for. It's like, oh, have you seen this?
Is the loss not enough? Can we not just...
I'm seeing crying, laughing faces coming through my phone at something which is pissing me off. So... He didn't smash it out of the park.
No, it weren't great.
Old Joey boy. Yeah. And he was off pretty soon after. Not because of that, I don't think, but there was a big old clear out, and he got told he wasn't going to play by Nuno, didn't he?
Yeah, that was it. First day, he was like, you know, you're not playing.
Nuno,
I don't care. I'll get another one in. I don't care if you're not even playing. You're not here. Get out.
We became a Gallini FC after that,
didn't we? That was really great. Yeah. Did you read somewhere that was... I think Football London reported it, that Gallini was initially like Paratici's long-term plan to replace Lloris. It was just like, you've clearly never watched a goalkeeper before.
Yeah, he had some mental moments, didn't he?
But what a few, was, yeah. He did the... Remember we get
the Chelsea one?
Yeah, he comes to the cross and he misses it.
You could probably just say the Chelsea one and you'd be like, that'd be the right answer for any Spurs question.
True, yeah.
He was that old manager, you know, the Chelsea one.
So at 13... A few weeks after the social media incident, there's another one. And this involves Dulux. Who on their account, it gets announced that they're kind of the official paint supplier of Spurs. This is Levy in his element.
Making the paint supplier of Spurs. Yeah, sure.
Big brand, though.
Right. I'm in.
But.
Tell me more.
So they make a joke about Spurs not winning any trophies. Picture of the Dulux dog with extra empty cabinet, stuff like that. And then they got to delete it, and I don't know if the partnership was ended or whatever, if they were talking to or whatever. But again, one of those instances where you've mentioned it just now, your phone's off the hook.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's bad.
I'd have liked Spurs to have gone straight to Dulux's competitors after they posted those tweets.
Crown Paints?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Couldn't tell.
Sainsbury's own. And Sainsbury's own would have been good, and just got a new partnership with those lot. But it's low hanging fruit, isn't it? That was the thing.
We were right in the picture. Yeah.
I think as a Spurs fan, it's I think you've got to be somewhat prepared for a little bit of ribbing and all that. I'm not going to take it from a Dulux dog though.
Two dogs on this list.
I'm not going to sit here getting mugged off by a big old furry dog.
Two dogs at fault for Spurs' collapse.
You know,
really makes you think.
It does make you think. But have Dulux ever won any trophies? Like,
no.
Who cares about best paint? Who goes to the paint awards? Nobody goes to the paint awards.
Yeah, but you're saying low hanging fruit, and the kind of one of the reasons why Spurs are such a low hanging fruit is because of the words of number 12. Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
His three-word team talk. Lads, it's Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
Sets up a generation of jokes.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he probably doesn't care about that. Man United probably don't care about that.
And I think Spurs have got to do a little better to rid themselves of that sort of tag.
Mm.
Because, you know, if somebody else is pointing something out that's quite obvious and you're getting offended by it, I don't really know what else to say. if you're quite soft at the core and this stuff happens.
I understand why you said it. You know, they were Man United.
Yeah, exactly.
Just about mid-table fodder, you're going to be saying...
Yeah. It's just because it's Spurs that people pick up on it and think it's, you know.
What? Think it's no hilarious. Way. You must be mistaken.
That's not like that. It's a proper brain.
But
that's tough.
That's that one generation. The next generation.
Yeah. We beat Fergie at Old Trafford in their last season, so in his last season.
ABB so. Spurs. Don't you feel shit, Sir Alex?
The tongue. And
yeah, he set up one generation of jokes. The next generation of jokes were set up by number 11.
Yeah.
Giorgio Chiellini.
This guy rattles me a bit more. Yeah, obviously, because the Juve Spurs Champions League, and then there was Euro 2020 as well.
The history of Tottenham.
Which is rough.
I don't think you would think that's what you meant. I think what he meant was that
they wouldn't make it past that stage.
No, I think it was more like kind of that Spurs, like they know if you score one at Spurs, you can get another in a quick succession, which will happen in the home leg as well.
Yeah,
they were turning up quite quickly. I think that's what he meant, but people kind of saw it as this kind of the way that he worded it is like, Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a pretty ridiculous way to look at it as well, especially seeing as Spurs went so close across that time to come out with like instant disrespect is an odd one, especially when they're like,
inflated.
It's something, isn't it? But they like I remember they hit the post in like the 90th minute or something like that. Ball just didn't trickle over the line, and you know it is what it is. And you've picked quite a shit house picture of him there. And
I saw it. I was like, yeah, that one.
That's the one. Yeah, he's got his tongue out.
Why are
you the way that you are?
Yeah. Okay, George.
I hate so much about what you choose to be. Number 10. This is quite a funny one. Like I remember back in the days when I was a vegetarian. You got, do you remember this, right?
Yeah.
So number ten on who is to blame for Spurs is Chick King. I can't even remember what the thing was before, but I think you said something along the lines of, "Oh, you don't know Chick King," and I was like, "No, I've got no idea." And it's like, "When's the last time you went to a Spurs game?"
It was only a week or so ago.
It's fine. It's like, "You never been to Chick King?" It's like, "Well, I'm a vegetarian." Since seen the light, so not the same now. But yeah, I don't think I haven't had the chicken from Chick King.
It's good.
So it will have to be
as a fried chicken kind of connoisseur. It is not the connoisseur, but a connoisseur because the connoisseur. Was not as glowing in his review, and I thought I was quite offended by that. Nice guys.
Nice guys and
twins.
Are they twins?
There's two twins in there. Yeah.
There's two sets of twins.
One set of twins.
So there's four.
I'm seeing good double.
Oh my god.
Four twins.
Four? Yeah.
That's quite sad. Yeah.
7 out of 10 for them.
You know. Would I care to flock to the lane as much if the chicken wasn't there? Probably not.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it's this is more of an honourable place, isn't it? I'd say compared to the other lads that are included. Got good meal deals in there? Is it good bang for your buck?
It's good, yeah.
Yeah,
well priced, fair priced, better price than the stadium probably. There's still big queues there whenever I get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think people are way up for this.
Goes down the road. Than,
how much chicken do you reckon they get through on match day? Good lord.
I think at least 3 chickens.
3 big chickens.
Big chicken, chirpy.
Super mutant chickens.
Put some chirpy in there. Chirpy.
There's not real. I mean, there might be a good segue for this. I guess it's stadium adjacent.
Across the road from chicken, you have the stadium. Who's playing at the stadium? Number 9, Beyonce.
We should get our tinfoil hats on for this one.
I can't believe the amount of people who seriously think that Beyonce playing at the stadium is some kind of sign that Spurs lack ambition or something to that effect. It is utterly insane. People are so bored.
Yeah, people are bored. I mean, when I saw the first dates going, it's just Spurs. That's how they made money. They used the stadium to sell out gigs and all that. I didn't really see, like, it's Beyonce, arguably the biggest pop icon in the world.
Yeah, what's the problem? How is a bad thing?
I think it was because it was the end of January transfer window.
But then it was like the money's going to Beyonce. It was like, no. We just had Pedro Porro for 45 million. You're going, how do you think we need to fund this?
Yeah. Well, thank God we got Pedro Porro. I mean, this one was... I get the funny thing about it is them selling the extra date and not having, not having the license for it. So that bit is, I think, is very Tim Pot and quite funny. But in terms of just like Beyonce playing there, I mean, like that's better than Guns N' Roses. Like Guns N' Roses, but racist and, you know.
Have they been there before?
I think they played. Yeah, they played there before. Yeah, Guns N' Roses have played before.
Yeah, you were.
I wasn't there.
I should never be there.
Don't know any.
That was you.
It wasn't me.
Yes, they were saying, can Mr. Jude Tarfield please come to the stage?
You're going to sing Sweet Child of Mine. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
So from number 9 to number 8, one of Beyonce's closest friends.
I'm sure. Fabio Paratici.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. This guy is a bit of a... I don't know. I feel like his legacy is being ruined.
Well, the bad thing was, even when he first arrived, it was a bit like, you'd hear these murmurs like, oh, there's something that's not quite kind of right, you know. Because it wasn't like the film reports as it is now, and not like the legal challenge or anything, but there was reports that something was going on at Juve. He was at Juve whilst these kind of financial...
That's a bit of a smoking gun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, do you really trust it? I thought it was such a weird thing, because I was really happy that Daniel Levy was kind of passing over football operations, because like, he needed to do that. But it was just like, at the same time, why to him?
Mm.
And the other annoying thing is you also can't... Maybe you can't criticise him too much because some of the signs he has made have been such massive hits.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but I don't want to give him that credit because he's made a lot of stinkers as well.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole squad thing is fascinating because I still think there's... It depends what happens over the summer, obviously, and if Kano is off, then that's something else. But I still think like there's so many good players that have been brought in over the last couple of years. And there are players who haven't hit their peaks yet, like the people like Basuma, who are in there. But yeah, we won't give them too much credit because I think they weren't that sort of... They're pretty obvious signings, a lot of them.
They felt like favours.
They did.
You look at that Romero deal. That's part of the investigation, the way that he went, moved from Juve to Atalanta and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Like, I think Kulusevski's in there as well.
Yeah.
Kulusevski and Benton were both implicated in the wages thing as well. So, yeah, I don't think it was his plan necessarily that they were going to come and be the way that they were.
Yeah, I think it was just
stumbled into it.
Yeah, and just keeping things moving more than anything else. Yeah,
another director of football the next year would be lovely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, there's so much that's unclear at Spurs anyway, and their footballing approach is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I think we all thought that maybe the link that they had at Juve would...
Yeah.
End up being a bit stronger, or stronger as it was at Juve at Spurs.
Never bought into the kind of Don Paratici Waterzy cooking hype. The second you fall into those tropes, you're being taken for a fool. You can never put so much praise on like one person for transfers or anything like that. You should never do that. Yeah. You will always be proven wrong. You will always be proven wrong.
Yeah, unless your name's Michael Edwards, and then for some reason everyone loves you. But yeah, that's not the way to go. Because, you know, the people at Arsenal, that Raul Celenyi, like, he might have been called a boss man by Arsenal fans, or...
Nicolas Pepe, 72 mil, class.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Can't argue with that.
So, you know, praising director of football is like the sun shines out of there. You know, what's is often not the best way to go.
Yeah.
And I think we found that pretty... I think it was early season... games last season where Spurs are in like Carabao Cup and stuff like that.
Oh, he's there.
And like you could just see him walking on the touchdown obviously with his phone and sort of like, ah yes, Fabio's coming, look busy, or whatever that is. Like, well, I don't know what
he's like shouting the players as well. It's like, shut up, man.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not the coach.
Not no.
But
I suppose that brings him
to his good mate, number 7.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte.
Who you've said was meant to be different, but
turns out he was exactly the same. Who could have seen that coming?
Who could have seen that?
I've written an article that will go live after he's sacked. Basically, going through like why he hasn't been as much of a success as people thought he might have been. And I actually understand why Spurs were as good as they were last season, because we ended the year as like a really fast, direct team who weren't afraid of anyone. And that was kind of because we spent half the season playing one game a week.
Mm.
And this is a big thing, I think. A couple of other people, such as our friend Tanko Patrick, have talked about it, that the two big signs that were in the January window, the ones that kind of brought the fresh impetus, were players that were coached in his style when you're in Italy with Juventus, mm-hmm. because there's Bentancur, that it was easier for them to kind of take to his methods, for them to kind of slot in and learn these kind of pre-rehearsed moves, because that's what his teams are about. It's about really get perfecting these kind of moves. And you can still see it. Every kind of Spurs game, you see the move where it's like, you play from the back, Kane drops deep, releases the other players, they go forward, everyone storms forward. Like that, those kind of moves, you see it. They were really accustomed to that. Summer signings were not accustomed to that, and that's why it's been a bit hard for them. And we tried to play at slow intensity to manage the schedule, and it just hasn't worked. It's still really slow now.
Mm-hmm.
And where last season he did what he's really great at, in terms of squeezing every last drop out of like average or unexceptional players, we've had no real overperformance in that regard this year.
Yeah, I think that you will look back on this season and think a fair amount of mistakes with squad management have been made. A lot of players weren't really utilised as much as they could have been. It's very same starting 11 every week. I mean, that week where they went out of the FA Cup and Champions League and then lost to Wolves, when they went from, you know, they just changed their team so much at such a pivotal point of the season. So it just meant like nobody had any rhythm or anything.
I really judge Nottingham Forest for losing the game after that, because they didn't even try. They tried even the slightest, Spurs might have just crumbled. I really judge Forest for not giving it a go.
Yeah, and they just let Kane nod one in.
They'll let Skip and Højbjerg just ping it 70 yards at a time. It's just like,
yeah,
not going to try. Okay, it was really pathetic. It's something that makes me want Forest to get relegated, because it's like, if you're not going to try, what's the point? Pathetic.
Yeah.
It makes me angry. I don't care about Forest.
They are woeful. They're
crap. Didn't even try.
Didn't even try.
Trying to rely on home form.
Yeah, knocked us out of Carabao, didn't
they? They did that as well. Yeah, yeah.
So there's always.
If anything, it makes our early season win there look quite impressive, because they're knocking on the door a little bit.
Yeah.
Came as Pano. It could have easily turned, but we got it. Richarlison assist
that day. That was a nice assist, yeah.
Back when Richarlison was in his good off the bench days.
And now he just gets slagged off. But it is going to be a poor lad.
Yeah. Okay. So we come to number six. Harry Kane. how could it be his fault? He's so good.
I mean, he ranks six here, and it's because he's so good that he means he is everything wrong with Spurs.
He is a loser. He is a loser. People would say his 271 goals don't mean shit.
Yeah.
Because that is how modern football works.
People would say, what's he won? They still do say
that. They do say that.
Yeah.
They do say that.
It's still true, I suppose. I mean, I can't get into slagging him off too much, but it's... Oh no, it's the same thing with a lot of Spurs players, really. They've had chances to play in finals or to go on decent runs in cups, and they've just fallen at the last hurdle, or in, you know, the last couple of years, just been really woeful and pathetic in those crunch games. So,
And I think the other thing as well is that he's so good that if he goes this summer, and I don't know if he's... I don't really have a gut feeling either way if he's going to or not, but if he were to go, it would be such a hard job to replace him, not just because of the goals, but the overall quality and technical brilliance he brings. Like, you can see it with England as well, like,
yeah,
what he brings, the way that he brings in other people to the game.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as just saying, we'll stick Richarlison there and he'll score 10 goals a season less, but... And we can just hope for more.
Oh, it'll be a completely different
game. It's a different game. We might be able to press a bit more because that, like, Charles is somebody looks forward rather than back.
Well, yeah, this is the thing.
Maybe that's it, but we're gonna have to really look at the way we construct our team. Because the same with Son as well, in that his legs have gone a bit. He doesn't try as hard on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's been used to different content this year as well. But we're gonna have to almost rip up the attack and start again. The way that we build teams.
I mean, it should be fun. I hope
it means we're going to get some players in.
Yeah,
are they going to be good? Who knows?
Well, I just hope, you know, the blueprint is so clearly there at the moment, and like Spurs did it years before with Poch and playing attacking quick football, and every good team in the Premier League, that's what they're doing now.
And we do have nice pieces around that.
Yeah, you know, there are players you can play that style, I'm sure. And I genuinely don't think you're ever that far away in the Premier League these days from becoming a half decent team. I mean, just like look at United. I mean, Arsenal weren't. They were sort of there last season, obviously, but they've gone on to a different level now. It's not all that bad, but if Harry leaves, that is going to be depressing. Yeah.
But to number five,
the man who gave birth to Harry Kane.
Well, yes, as he says.
Yeah.
Tim Sherwood.
Well, he claims to have. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll never hear the end of it. I gave Harry Kane his chance, you know.
Yeah. How many Timmy games did you get to at White Hart Lane?
Benfica in the Europa League. Lost 3-1.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I only had... I think I might have had a couple, actually. We saw the Southampton game, which was good fun.
Poch never beating Sherwood, always losing to Sherwood. It actually has a really funny record.
It's terrible, yeah. Yeah, I actually went to the Spurs Villa game the next season as well. Or maybe
boy, could you pick them?
I know, it was great. Benteke scored a header and it was a bunch of...
The only game DeAndre Yedlin played for Spurs.
Yeah, late sub, wasn't he?
Yeah. Poch was like, fuck it.
Didn't make an impact.
Oh, really?
Wasn't quite as good, yeah. And we didn't... I don't think we saw any gilet flinging that day, which was really rough. But yeah, I mean, like, we're blaming him here, but 59 win percent ratio. Second to none.
It is quite amazing the amount of points that he got. We ended that year with 69 points.
It was hilarious.
Which I'll bite your hand off right now for 69 points this season, for example. It's like, good God.
And the attacks he were put out as well. I think it was in that first... I mean, it was a Southampton game at St Mary's, which was his first, yeah. I think. And they played like 4-4-2, and it was...
He loved the idea of Adebayor and Soldado together. Soldado, yeah. He was just like, this is the way to get the best out of Soldado.
And he didn't score any goals, but at least like...
Adebayor scored some goals at least.
Adebayor scored some goals, yeah.
Just like right out there. Yeah. The salute.
Salute
for Addy.
That's another great Timmy picture as well.
Yeah.
Addy scoring against Sunderland, and then him and Chris Ramsey doing the salute.
I know, I just retired yesterday.
Oh, it's a shame.
People like, he didn't retire like 5 years ago?
He hasn't been anywhere of note. Oh no, I think he was at Palace about 5 years ago.
He went to Palace after we released him.
Yeah.
Where it was like, get out.
Yeah. Yeah, we needed him gone because I think there was a curse I think had been put on him at some point.
I didn't actually know this. He only won one trophy in his career.
Did he really?
Could you tell me the trophy? I think it will shock you.
Man City. Did he win the FA Cup at Man City?
No. Because he was at Real Madrid at the time and he won the Copa del Rey there.
Oh yeah,
he played in that final against Barca.
He played against Spurs as well that year.
Yeah,
he got battered.
Yeah,
I mean that seems quite remarkable.
That's why I was like, surely he must have like Arsenal, but no, because he joined Arsenal like right at the start of the trophy drought. City hadn't won anything, and like I said, they won it when he was away. He was alone at Spurs when they won the league. Obviously, they haven't won anything here.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, oh, that's kind of sad, but he was a fine guy. Like, I think
he was a good Premier League striker.
He was a good Premier
League striker. He was the striker. If we'd had him in 10-11, we would have probably done a lot more.
Yeah.
If you think, like, obviously, there's like scenarios now. If you put him with Van der Vaart for two whole seasons rather than one, maybe that's a bit better. Maybe by the time we get to the second season, Spurs are in a better position in general.
Yeah, Rafa didn't fancy it in the 12-13, did he? I think he was sort of he was all tuckered out.
I was really surprised he left when he did, because just went back to Hamburg and was like, oh, we're gonna Dempsey's coming in, so could you go? I was like, all right, fine.
We're gonna have Clint for one season.
Yeah. Number two.
Number two. Yeah.
Not quite number two yet. Up to number four, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Remember Arsenal fourth jokes?
Well, I remember making those jokes last season.
Remember Arsenal fourth jokes?
I remember, because obviously top fours are everything,
yeah.
And that's what they were going for last season.
Yeah.
So we were having quite a wild ball, really. I'm having a great time. And it has, I mean, generally as a Spurs fan, it's been quite nice over the last 10 years or so because Arsenal haven't finished above them that often. I think we were still on a sort of run of finishing above them every season for like four, five or six seasons, this season. But now that's obviously going to end because they're going to probably win the league.
And I do think a lot of the frustration this year has been that they're going to win the league. I've accepted they're going to win the league. I don't care what the City gets.
I think it's pretty likely, yeah.
I think, yeah. But also the fact that we were the team that were meant to make that leap, that everyone's talking about us, it was like, if we got top four last year, that accelerates the rebuild, and it slows their rebuild down, and it's worked the universe, really.
Yeah, they went and, their recruitment in the summer was really good, in all fairness. I know Jesus is only just coming back, but they identified positions where they needed everyone to be able to play it from the back. Zinchenko and Ben White are so good at doing that. Like, they have like a creative spark in Odegaard, who's not like a proper number 10, but is essentially doing that in centre midfield. It's, there are a lot of what Spurs aren't at the moment, and you know that obviously breeds a bit of, you know, annoyance and contempt. But football's often, you know, cyclical, and there'll be players at Arsenal who get dragged away to other clubs, and City will come back roaring. So,
I'm not like that at all. I've accepted they're going to be a force for the next 5 years.
You think?
I'm looking forward to like 2029 when the era has passed and Arteta's been sacked or something because they've had a slow start to the season and everything seems to have fizzled out. And it's like, yes, Jan Vertonghen to Tottenham are coming to the top.
Well, I'm going to choose to be a little more optimistic on that. And yeah, we can differ on that.
Okay, you can live in that fantasy world. Have fun. Okay. Well, number three. Lord Sugar. Yeah. Did you see it's only in my mind because he and Gary Lineker were at it on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't like Alan Sugar at all.
I don't really
want to talk about him at all.
That's fine. Really, really unlikable guy.
Yeah.
Bad guy.
Blame rating 9.1 out of 10. I'm pretty happy there.
Crap chairman.
Yeah.
Well done.
Wasn't very good. Just well done. Spews trash online. Like, well done.
Very bad guy. Brings us to number two. The man who sold the club.
Is it also a bad guy? Oh, it's Stanley Levy. Well, I suppose. I suppose the jury is out. I think a lot of.
yeah.
It's tough to get into, you know, Daniel Levy all now, but, you know, he's. It's almost harsh to say. Well, not harsh to say. He's not really a football guy at all.
The problem is he thinks he is.
Yeah, when in more accurate terms, he's more of a steward. Really, he's more of a steward of Gondor and will never be king, because he doesn't really know what he's doing. I mean, business side. This is always how you marry it up, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you balance it out. I mean, we just blame.
Well, the way that everyone talks is like. If the club were to like be taken over, he would probably stay in some capacity, like I said, a steward, because business side, you cannot argue that he's been a massive success. He's been one of the best chairmen in terms of being a businessman.
Yeah.
It falls apart when it's about the football. It falls apart when it's about making that next step, because he thinks that he needs to go left and it turns out he needs to go right instead.
Mm.
Like the Mourinho. I will never get over the thing we talked about earlier, that Mourinho is one of the two best managers in the world. You had to be so naive to even think that.
Mm.
I don't think even Mourinho's biggest fans, the Mourinistas, were even thinking he was top two manager in the world at that time. Obviously, there was like loads of institutional problems at Man United, but he wasn't making them better.
Mm.
And they were like really on the way down. The only reason they they finished sixth that season, but the only reason they did because they went on like a mad 10-game winning streak or something like that under Solskjaer with the new manager bounce, and that's the only reason.
Yeah, there was a lot in that Man United spell that you probably could have seen and, you know, could tell that likely would happen at Spurs. I'm just blaming Mourinho again here, but there's a time now that some football decisions need to be made elsewhere.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, a new director of football or something, like a new kind of structure, like kind of one they have, like smarter teams like Brighton and Brentford, where it's like a few people who
this is
are given that kind of control.
There's no reason why Spurs can't set up some sort of dominant scouting network like Brighton have, yeah. where they can go and pick up these players.
I don't want to be like Chelsea, where they have like essentially 17 directors of football.
Yeah,
and just like giving out nonsense names as well. Like some of the job titles are really weird.
Well, you don't. Yeah, you don't want, really want to be like Chelsea at all, because they'll be overpaying for decades now.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's a good look. Really, you want to get in and find good talent.
We're not that, and we never will be, unless we're like state run or something.
Yeah, exactly. I sort of feel like that's just what Tottenham need to get back to doing anyway. Just being a good side that develops youth players. And if they do end up selling them, and they sell them on for a lot more.
Except that we're in that kind of Dortmund bracket.
And that's fine. I think you just have to be ready to take your chance when it comes, and when you've got your team like settled, and maybe others aren't hitting top form as much.
Yeah.
You just have to be ready. And unfortunately, they've gone for a more win now approach the last few years, and that hasn't put them in any sort of position to challenge.
Yeah.
It's just made the club so much more. You know, certainly toxic from the outside, for when you look at the media and everything, and how much their trophy drought gets explained and in comparison to other clubs and that. So, I'm just rambling again. But it's
we're nearly done.
Let's get some proper infrastructure back. Start targeting the right players in the transfer window, and let's start having some fun again,
Yeah.
Who did you put number one? You put Daddy. Daddy number one.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah.
Why did he have to raise the bar?
Well, he's a cute That's man, isn't he? He's a good-looking man. He's the sort of man you'd be happy with in your dugout.
Yeah. Is he your top choice? We'll talk more on the eventual Conte post-mortem pod about who you want to come in. Is he your top one?
I kind of think now, yeah. Just in that, like, I've seen a bit of conjecture suggesting he would just be like a familiar face and would just pat the players on the head and stuff like that. And I'd really hope that isn't the way it would go down, because that wouldn't work for anybody.
No,
it wouldn't make
it
Spurs.
The thing that I'd heard about, he would only come back if there was a sign that things have changed, that listens to him alone. He's not just coming back to do the same shit all over again.
Because, that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
I've seen a lot of sort of rewriting of history as well, when people talk about the players he had to start with in terms of Walker and Rose and stuff like that. And it's, people forget that, it's not just one manager, of course, it's a coaching staff, it's a system, and, that's how you get the best out of your players. But it wasn't all gold to start with. He was playing Mason and Bentaleb in midfield very early on. Yunus Gabul was still getting games.
And then people were talking about it's just like, oh, he's the reason that Spurs didn't win anything. It's just like, do you not understand where we were?
What
are you talking about?
I don't want to get too sort of, XG stats basher, but I think it's a bit reductive.
a little bit. Yeah.
I don't really see. It's sort of a Twitter opinion where you just post it and you get a couple of likes and well done. Doesn't really add anything to it. But I mean, if he were to come back in, then you would hope he does it like he did the first way around, in terms of ripping everything up, but also having those assurances that he can actually make change on a sporting level. And you wouldn't want him to come back and be bemoaning the house that still needs furniture and stuff like that. You'd hope that he has a lot of say when he goes to IKEA and picks out what furniture he wants.
I know I do.
And maybe if he can't have the top bit of furniture, maybe he gets the second bit, next bit on, and not like the fifth bit that Danny Rose has to look up how to install.
I think the pushback I give on those things is that I think he's a little bit too picky sometimes with the players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think all managers are like that when they're given a choice. It's like, no, I want the number one. I don't want anything at all. I think they do get a bit picky in general. So.
Yeah. I think it would be good if they can sort of nail down we need a number one player here, and they can actually manage to go out and do it. Because, I'm not really sure how attractive Spurs are at the moment for that to happen.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice. But it'd be nice. But it's tough to get too excited about, I feel. Even if he were unveiled like in the next couple of weeks or at the end of the season. I don't know, I'd still feel that the general sour mood at Spurs is quite tricky to just push away.
There'd be a pop for sure.
That I think a load of fans would get into, you know, all their flags and
we got a lot of Argentina flags.
Yeah, I think all that would be really good. And we would probably just need to make sure that nobody was living under false pretenses.
yeah.
About what it would be if you were to come back.
Yeah.
Because there would be some pain.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But like we said, we'll talk in depth about that when Conte does go. So I think we're done for now.
Yeah, we've rattled through 35 to 1 there, I suppose. And I hope we gave each one equal merit, and you know that they're all of equal importance.
Yeah, I don't think I went enough on Chirpy, but you know, it was a story for another day.
We'll do a separate one on Chirpy.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Okay,
he's a rotter.
Okay, cool. So I think we'll end it there. Thank you for listening, everyone. We will be back shortly, probably, with a Conte post-mortem.
Probably, yeah.
Please remember to leave a rating and subscribe. It really helps us a lot. And we will see you shortly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.